Good morning and welcome. How wonderful it is to be gathered here together. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. Again, no lilies remain, no chocolate bunnies, but we are always celebrating Easter and the resurrection. And speaking of resurrection, some of you received an email letting you know that a longtime member, pillar of this church, Glenshaw Valley, Miss Betty Meniz, has now experienced the resurrection. She went home to God, passing away peacefully on April 28th at 102 years old. And her obituary, I did send it in the email, but I do have a copy of it here. Miss BJ cut it out and gave it to me. And it is a beautiful one. Just want to share just a couple of the words. Even the way that the family described her love with her husband. Betty fell in love with Matthew Meniz at Peabody High School, and marrying in 1942, they built a life together until his passing in 2001. And it goes on to talk about the way she suffered losses with quiet grace. She lost a son, and at just age 19, this woman, I only met her very briefly, but she was definitely a gift to the world, and she loved this church so very much. And so we will pray for her family. There's no need to pray for her, for she has been restored and made whole. But we will pray for her and her family in our prayers this morning. Are there other announcements that need to be shared today? If not, then let us come into the silence of this place. Let us come with gratitude for this day. In our coming and in our going, may we be strengthened in our bonds of love and peace. And I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. In you, Holy One, we seek sanctuary. In you, Sovereign God, we seek refuge.
Holy One, for your name's sake, lead us and guide us.
You are indeed our rock and our fortress. Our times are in your hands. Strengthen us in your righteousness.
Holy One, for your name's sake, lead us and guide us.
Shine upon us this day as we worship you. Saturate us in your steadfast love.
Holy One, for your name's sake, lead us and guide us.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Church's One Foundation.
Church's one foundation.
Let us pray together. Redeemer of our lives, we come to you knowing that we participate in a world often crushed by tyranny and evil. Our hearts are troubled, overwhelmed, and dismayed. At times we feel helpless and hopeless by the enormity of the problems all around us. We believe the lie of the enemy that there is nothing that we can do or that someone else is the one to do it. May you be glorified in the tumbling of the walls cemented in evil and fortified by hate. We pray for the courage and resolve to do the works needed in this hour. We pray for faith, trust, and hope to believe that the realm of the possible eclipses the narrow places of improbability. We pray for the boldness to pray for what the world needs and more than our imaginations may hold. Amen. Chosen beloved of God, receive the mercy of God, who calls you, who calls all from despair into hope, from suffering into repair, from hopelessness into resolve. God has given us capacity for strength and compassion. The Holy One journeys with us. Our prayers are met and amplified by the Spirit. We are forgiven. Amen. Let us share together an expression of what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and is on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love. Many blessings to all of you. That was beautiful. That was one of my most favorite songs. And actually, we're going to be singing it at the personal care home where I do the service this afternoon. But do you think you guys can come with me? Because it's tough for me to lead that one. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. And as we come before God in prayer, you are a beautiful people, and it is wonderful to see all of you here. I just have to say, it's especially wonderful to see Patty back with us, though. I mean, look at her. Doesn't she look great? Miss Patty back? Yeah, so nice. So many thanks to Faye for caring for her sister, and to all of you for your prayers and just for who you are. Pastor Tom is preaching in a different county today. We pray for him. We pray indeed for the family of Betty and give thanks for her life and all that she was and is. Are there any other concerns that you would like to lift up today? Yes, Miss Arthur. Sandy, yes, we absolutely want to keep praying for you, Miss Sandy. And tomorrow is the day. Okay. Sandy will start her chemo treatments tomorrow. You are a light, and we do pray that you will feel that light and that everybody you see tomorrow will reflect that light right back to you. Let us come together. Loving God, as we put our words together, let us remember that we don't have to trust, we don't have to twist. We don't have to twist your arm to listen to us. You are not a reluctant God. We don't have to convince you to seek good things for the world. We don't have to find a way to pursue a God who is out there somewhere, or ask you to come near to us because you are here. It's true that we feel like sometimes we have to ask for that because we look around and we see this world broken. We pray for the strength, the knowledge to be healers where we are. And we pray that for all of your people, that they would come to your healing. And then in turn, act in a way that heals. We thank you for those who have been in our lives and helped us to understand you in a tangible way. We give you thanks for the life of Betty and pray for all those in this world who will miss her spirit here on earth. It is now everywhere as she is with you. We give you thanks for healing that has taken place in places seen and unseen. For Patty and for Jody, we thank you for healers tending to bodies in need of physical healing, just as Faye does, and in spiritual healing and comfort as well, like Pastor Tom. And we do indeed pray tomorrow and the next day and the next day and all the days and every moment that Sandy would experience your healing through your people, your healers. And we bring to mind now all those who are anxious, all those who are lonely, the despairing, the defeated. And we pray this, O God, knowing how you love us, May we internalize that so that we can share that truth with all. And this we pray in the name of the one by whom we know you best, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing together our hymn of praise, God is my refuge. Seated, and would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering? Loving God, the giver of only good things, thank you for our very lives. We return a portion of the blessings that we've received, and may they be used for the good of your creation throughout the world. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter 2, 2 through 5, and 9 and 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks.
Thank you, BJ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My pop culture knowledge ended the day the music died, June 22nd, 1969. I wasn't yet, but that's when, I mean, we all know June 22nd, 1969 was when Judy Garland died, and everything since then has been, it's fine. But I was told yesterday, and I kind of knew, like, I'd heard of this song, or at least the phrase, Born This Way, and I used it for our sermon title. And then my dear friend said, you should listen to the song. It's a great song. And I did, and it's wild. Oh, it's very modern. It's very modern. And the words are really beautiful. I was born this way. I'm on the right track. I was born this way. And that's a message God gave me today. And what I want to do, though, is I need to share a story that I know I've probably shared before. So just for a minute, pretend that I'm your Aunt Patsy who likes to take you down the same path on memory lane all the time. Well, my first church at the Baptist Church, it was filled with pastors, a lot of retired pastors and then ordained ministers who worked in other places, not churches, but they'd done a lot of preaching. And this one guy, I won't say his name, but it was Ray Fosnight. He was a great guy. But Ray had preached for more than 60 years before he retired. And every time I preached, he would say to me, "You're good, but you know, you preach too much grace. You need to preach more judgment." Now I've been preaching 30 years. And you know what? I still can't do it. I can't do it because I can only preach what I think God has given me to say. And God always seems to want me to bring a message that there's more grace than judgment. And yes, sometimes after I finish a sermon manuscript, I look at it, I read it over, and I think, wait a minute, is this just a pep talk? Is this just one of those post-locker room matches, a match that hasn't gone well, and I'm the manager saying, "Come on, lads, we can do this next week." But every time I do that, the Holy Spirit seems to reply, "No. The people who are coming to church, or who will come into the personal care home, wherever you're going to be, the Holy Spirit seems to say to me, even you need to hear the truth of God's love." And then the lectionary gives us a passage like this today, 4 to choose from. This is the one that was on my heart. And this is a letter from Peter. BJ read it for us. Many historians believe this wasn't from Peter himself, maybe from one or more of his followers. Still, some believe it was from Peter, but it hardly matters because the message comes from God. And this is indeed a sermon, a letter, a message that's full of grace. It's a pep talk. It was probably written around the year 65, and it was written to people who were described as resident aliens. People all over Asia Minor. A circular letter taken by messenger from one area to another. People different from one another, spread out, but in the most important way, the same, and they all needed to hear the same message. They needed to be reminded that they are God's people. Now, some of us here, we are related by a bloodline or by a marriage line, yet each of us are carrying our own hurts, our own gifts, our own unique histories, our weaknesses, our faults. And it's much later than 65. It's 2026, but God still has the same message. We, you, belong. And you didn't just start belonging when you were baptized here or somewhere else. You didn't just start belonging to a family when you got married, to a church when you joined, or when you walked in a church. You belonged from the beginning. And this letter is written to people then and to people now who are searching, who are aching to know that they belong. And so sit for just a moment and think about a time when you felt that you did not belong. Maybe it was back in school. Maybe it was in a marriage that had just become too painful or was now alien to you. Maybe you felt like you didn't belong anywhere when you got devastating news about your own health or the health of someone that you love, or the awful news that your mother, your best friend, your child, your brother had died. And you felt like a resident of nowhere, an alien. And this message, God's message, is, wait a minute, hold on. You belong. You can think of any excuse to convince yourself you don't. You don't look the right way. Somebody left you. Somebody snubbed you. Somebody told you outright otherwise that you didn't belong. Somebody told you, or you feel like you aren't needed anymore. But listen. Listen to God speaking to your heart. You were born belonging. And that doesn't change. I have a dear friend. I've known her some 20 years. And we were talking the other day, and she's worried about what's going to happen when she dies. She's not worried about where she'll go. She knows that her loving God will receive her. But she's worried about her funeral. She doesn't belong to a church. And you see, she said, you're going to have to do my funeral. Nobody will take me. And I assured her that I would, if hers is before mine. But now I wish I would have said more to her. I wish I would have said, buddy, a funeral, a memorial service, as we call it in the Presbyterian Church, a witness to the resurrection. That's when God's people gather and they celebrate the life of a beautiful child of God, somebody who belonged to God from the beginning. And at that service, we're going to mourn the loss of that child in our everyday lives. And we're going to give thanks for the beautiful truth that that child is now living the eternal life with God. And we do this. We have these services. We say these words and share this time together, not because a pastor or a priest or a synod or a church or a diocese says it's okay. We do it because it's the truth. That child belongs to God's family. There's not me or any other pastor or church who made that true. And we can look at scripture and we can debate it, and sadly people have used it to twist it to suit their own purposes through the ages. But the truth that runs through it all and will always be there is that every one of us is a living stone. And with that stone, God built a living church. And just like the stones that we see on the ground, they come in all shapes and sizes and colors. And they don't maybe all seem like they could be useful for building something, but they are essential and they are part of the living, growing building. Even if the mortals have rejected, you or me or someone you love. Because we Christians, we have the perfect example of that truth. Jesus, who is referred to as the stone that the builders rejected. And he's the cornerstone. And I have another little story I'd just like to close. Once I attended church at a church that didn't really kind of look like a church at the time, the Sanctuary. It was up at St. Bonaventure, and it was the building that they built when they were also building the school. And I'm not sure what happened, but it turned out that the Sanctuary, well, it was originally supposed to be the gym. And so long years ago, the Sanctuary of St. Bonnie's, it kind of did look like a gym. I mean, it was great. It was beautiful, but it wasn't beautiful. And Father Bob, a friar from the Capuchin Friars, he was visiting. He was an older man, and he told one of his old stories. He told of a time when a woman came to him and shared a grievous wrong that she'd committed. And she shared that she couldn't forgive herself, even though she'd been forgiven by the person she wronged. And she believed that she was worthless and that she didn't belong anywhere. And Father Bob said that God gave him words to share with her, and he thought they sounded harsh at first, but he said to her, "My child, how dare you not forgive yourself when God has already forgiven you? How dare you not see that you belong when you do? When God claims you, you belong to God." And so it's not that that I'm always given a pep talk. Because God, I believe, gave a message for me to share that was through a message that God gave Peter to share. And that same message was heard by those people who heard it then and is heard now, that you, that we belong, that everyone belongs in God's loving family from the beginning. born that way. And that's one of the wonderful reasons why I love that here at this church, we do celebrate open communion. No matter where you are on your faith journey, you are welcome at this table. This is God's table. What happens is the elders will move among you. They will first distribute the bread, and then we will take it together. And then they'll move among you with the cup, and we will take that also. And first, let us sing our communion hymn of preparation, verses 1 and 5 of Bread of Life from Heaven.
Justice, love, peace, and freedom. At this table, you welcome friends and strangers. You call them together and make us a community, a safe place. At this table, all are invited. And we give thanks for the unfolding of our lives that have brought us to this moment in time. We celebrate your mystery, your creator, you are the sustainer of everything that is. We acknowledge, O God, that your mystery is embodied in every human person, aware that each one of us gives unique and personal expression to you. We were taught that. When you came in human form in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. We remember sacred stories from our tradition how on many occasions Jesus would share a meal with friends. Bread and fish and wine were shared in community. We also remember that on his last night, Jesus again took bread. He broke it, he offered a blessing, and he shared it between them and all ate. He instructed us to remember him when we partake of this meal. And we remember the way in which Jesus, the night before his execution, shared the wine, pouring it out, blessing it, and instructed us to remember his life and his promise and his love as often as we drink from this cup. Let us now share this sacred meal. For the unhealed hurts and the wounds that lie within us all, let us take this together in thankfulness.
Thank you.
the symbol of Christ's blood, the cup of peace and of new life for all. A sign of love for the community of hope. Let's take this together. Thanks. Holy God, divine designer, with gentle compassion, you unite us. You made us yours. Send us into the world nourished again, with joy in our hearts and excited to proclaim your prodigal love in this world. Amen.
Amen.
And as we sing our final hymn together, this is one possible step if you've decided that you'd like to join Glenshaw Valley Church officially. You can come forward and stand and sing with us as we sing our final hymn together. It's not necessary, but if you want to share that, we would love to have that happen. Or if today you've made a decision that you would like to share, please do that as well. Come and stand. And let us all stand together and sing, "We Are God's People." Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those who falsely believe that no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.